All right, how we doing? Hello, how we doing? Good. So, to push off from step three, first three steps, internal steps, got a problem, the solution, how to get to the solution. All three are done inwardly. They asked us to finalize that with the third step prayer. In the past, I've used the prayer in the book. In the past, I've created my own third step prayer. In the past, I've asked individuals I've taken through the work to create their own third step prayer. The book says the words are quite optional. Very powerful deal, those first three steps. Hopefully, if you've done the work or you're in the work, you've had an experience with them that will catapult you into steps 4 through 9, which are action steps. You sit in meetings and you hear somebody talk about turn it over, give it to God, turn it over. A lot of times they never tell you how to turn it over. Just tell you turn it over. Well, I was taught you turn it over in steps 4 through 9. Action is required. There's a piece I'd like to read from The Forerunner, His Parables and Poems by Cahil Gibran. Cahil Gibran happens to be an author, has a number of books. Page 39, set a sheet of snow white paper. Said a sheet of snow white paper is the title. Set a sheet of snow white paper. Pure was I created, and pure will I remain forever. I would rather be burnt and turned to white ashes than suffer darkness to touch me or the unclean to come near me. The ink bottle heard what the paper was saying, and it laughed in its dark heart, but it never dared to approach her. And the multicolored pencils heard her also, and they never came near her. And the snow-white sheet of paper did remain pure and chaste forever. Pure and chaste and empty. Hello. Pure and chaste and empty. We as recovering people are required to take action. And fourth step, which is comprised of three inventories, deep dark secrets, is something I do with individuals I sponsored that's called Life Love, and that's a result of looking at your fourth column, the end of your fear inventory, and your conduct in your sex inventory and personal inventory. I use sex inventory to do a personal inventory also. As a result of looking at those pieces, you write a paper on how would it be to live in the land of such and such in that manner. How would it be to live with them? Very powerful piece. Inventory or inventories are fact-finding, fact-facing experience. My recovery in becoming a recovered addict or recovered alcoholic must be based in fact. And I'm a firm believer that as you move through each step, it is pertinent for you to have an experience with that step. So being powerless, I can go back in my using and drinking history and see my powerlessness on a certain level. But there's spiritual exercises that you can do that will actually summon up that powerlessness where you'll feel it way deep down in your gut. And it will cause you to tremble, making it pertinent and necessary to push into step two because you know you're doomed. That's an experience for me that needs to happen for the recovering person for the rest of their life. Why? Talked about it earlier. I wake up. Mark Houston used to call it the resurgence of the ego. What happens is that it needs to be deflated. It needs to be demolished again. Because I'm in an effort to do what? Play God. Be God in my life. Very simple process for a very complicated mind. A mind that wants to run something. A mind that wants to be in charge of something. Usually based in its own knowingness. Not the knowingness of God. In the direction of God. I find that over the years I get more and more aligned with that. But I don't do it perfectly. And I claim the blessings that do happen. But thank God I woke up and I've stayed awake for a number of years now. And even in my slumbering, the gift that was promised to me shows up. And that gift is God is. So he comes in a number of ways. But I need to see me in front of my face. For me, that's what inventory is about. A fact-finding, fact-facing process. Says next, we launched out on a path of vigorous action, steps 4 through 9. Steps 1 through 3 are done internally. Steps 4 through 9 are done outwardly. Steps 4 through 9 are acts contrary to my will. They're not things that I've done. When I got to the recovery process, I had never written inventory before and look at my resentments and anger against somebody. Yet alone went and told somebody about it. I'm pissed at such and such because of such and such on the level that we do it. It's a thorough cleansing process if you do it thoroughly. And how do you do it thoroughly? You don't leave anything out. You hold nothing back. As a result of prayer moving into that process, you allow God to move the pen or the pencil on paper, and you write whatever comes. So it's a fact-finding, fact-facing process. They use words like launched, course, an orderly series of acts or proceedings, vigorous. Vigorous means with energy, extra energy, enthusiastically. Action, personal, permanent. Permanent means what? Forever. I'm looking for a solution that's permanent, that will be there for the rest of my life. And I have to see what's blocking me from that power. What stands in the way of this relationship to do what? To become whole. What's standing in the way of that? Inventory is a process that allows that to fall on paper for you to see with your eyes. The intent for step 4 is to face, to be rid of what's blocking me from God. Why? Why must I face to be rid of what's blocking me from God? It's even simpler than that. Huh? because I need a personal relationship. I need, even on a deeper level, I need to begin to cultivate a love affair with the Creator, the Source. I need the power that's there to be infused and begin to flow through me so I can begin to live life on some type of healthy, prosperous, beneficial level, not for me. It's not for me. It's for God and the people about me. So my life begins to take on purpose in recovery the same way it took on purpose in the street. I don't know if you like me. I'm a heroin addict. Real one. Mad dog. Mad dog. I did whatever I needed to do to bring into fruition what it was that I knew I needed in order to live. This is about knowingness. This is about first knowing I'm going to die. And that don't mean 6 feet under. That don't mean in a pine box and people sobbing over you and bringing you flowers. Matter of fact, don't bring me flowers when I die. Give me my flowers now. Give me my flowers now. Young lady walked in here, walked up to me last night, and she don't. Well, she might know what she did, but on a deeper level, she said, "My God, you made such an impact on people when you were here. And as a result of that, we created this..."
Vape juice.
And the name of the vape juice is Crumb Snatcher. And she said, "Mike, a couple of us got together, and because of what you brought when you came last time, we named this after you." Yeah. And she said, "It's all over the world."
What's a crumb snatcher?
A crumb snatcher is somebody that don't want nothing. They just want itty bitty pieces of what we have to offer. They don't really want the deal.
They don't want the whole cake.
It's right.
Cake. A little
tiny crumb. They don't even want a slice. They settle for kibbles and bits. Did you settle for kibbles and bits in the street? Did you not want the best dope they had? Would you walk to Timbuktu to get the best dope they had with no shoes on in the middle of winter with snow falling? Why won't you do that here? Why won't you do that in recovery? Why is it we don't live up to the standards that we set for ourselves out there, and we get here, and the standards by which I live my life change on a number of levels? And we give you what you need. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous gives us what I need, what we need.
It's your paraphernalia.
Says we must be fearless and thorough and searching. Did you not search for the dope man till you found him?
Yes.
Didn't matter where he was. If he was in hiding, you found his ass, didn't you?
With short money.
Why is it when we get here we're not willing? Step four is the beginning of finding, of digging, of searching, of uncovering, of taking a look at, of being willing to stand up to. of saying, I'm serious about this deal. I've got to have it. Anytime you're in a piece of work and you're not moving through it, you've lost that desperation. Did I ever lose desperation when I was in the street? Even if it came back from somewhere. Because I had to have it to live. That's the same thing that's happening here. Fact-finding, fact-facing. Was it not a fact that every morning I got up, I had to have a shot of dope to function? Was it not a fact? Was it not a fact that all through the day I had to stay fixed in order to live? So why does it change when we get here? Why do we rest on what we think we know, reasoning? When my infinite knowingness and reasoning has gotten me to the rooms of recovery. Why? Such a simple process for a mind that complicates stuff. Thank God for me, my experience is that the longer I stay, the simpler it gets. And the simplicity is I woke up this morning. And my first thought wasn't a shot of dope. This is 30 years from my last one, I think. But I'm closer to my next one. The simplicity of I'm in a room with 57, 60 people that a handful of you I know personally, and the rest of you believe I have something to say. That what I left with you guys wasn't me. That was a God that was working through me to get a message to you. That's it. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a vessel. In and of myself, I can't do this stuff. In and of myself, I have limited power. Guess what? It's unacceptable. Being powerless is unacceptable in my life. I refuse to be powerless. I refuse to live in a world that demands you have power. And waking up to the fact of the power I have is limited, I need superpower. I need supernatural power. I need spiritual power. That's happened for me. That's why I stay. And it began with this process in steps 4 through 9. Not finding out who I am, finding out who I'm not that I need to become. And then finding out who I need to become, becoming that, and then waking up one day and say, oh, you got to detach from that shit. Because you can't be that. God is so much more. That's so much more. In the nothingness, just being, I am. So you begin to unpeel another layer of the onion. Phases of recovery and redevelopment and rebirth in spirit world. Not in physical, spirit world. And then you begin to look for people that are just like you. I call it like-minded people. I go to meetings all around the world, and I'll sit in the meeting, and what I do is I'll wait for my head to go like this. It's called the nod. When I hear you share something, and I'm sitting in Amsterdam, Holland, and I hear somebody share something, and I'll connect on a spiritual level in my head ago. Shows me don't matter where you at, what color you are, what God you worship, don't matter. There's a common thread that runs through us, that connects us on a level that's unspeakable. It's acted out in our lives on a daily basis. And I get a camaraderie and I get a fellowship. Tomorrow we're going to talk about creating the fellowship that you crave. And I get an infinite attachment to people all around the world that's not about attachment for at all. It's about alignment. They're walking the same path as I am. And they're in Brighton, England. So the next four, the next five steps are about, here I am, God. Mm-hmm. Here I am, man. I'm willing to shed me. I'm willing to get naked, God. I'm willing to demonstrate to you that you have got to be in my life. And I'm awake enough to know that mere words are not enough. How many times have we made decisions in our lives to do something? Mm-hmm. And made a resolution to do something? Yeah. Turn my life and my will over to the care of God, and I mouth some words. How many times have you done that? Curiosity, how many times have people in here done that? How many people have done that and not finished all 12 steps? Then I wonder why I'm so chaotic and crazy. Because I haven't thoroughly turned my life and my will over to the care of God in demonstration. It's the mechanics. The mechanics of those steps are what they ask us to do in the big book. It's the internal recreation of my thinking and my perception as to why I breathe on a daily basis. As to why with two bum knees and a hip about to go out and have another operation, why I still move and somebody would have to ask me for them to know. You with me? It's beyond what you can see, feel, touch, and hear. And I start the process with a fourth step. Facing to be rid of, fact finding, process. First step of action to create permanent change. Permanent change. I don't want to go back. Somebody said that earlier. They wouldn't go back. Somebody said something along those lines, man. I wouldn't go back if I could. So much has been revealed. So many gifts have been given me. Not material stuff. Not this stuff. You don't drink and don't use for a while. You'll get the car and the house and the pool and all that stuff. You'll get it. It just come. Matter of fact, people will give it to you here. I'm talking about the internal gifts. The gift like patience is virtue. I stood in line. I just moved back to Vegas and I had to mail my DirecTV stuff back to Direct. And I'm standing in line at Office Depot and the lady in front of me is in line and she and her and her husband and they got a box, right? And there's only two customer service people, right? And he's like frantic. And she says, my God, he is so impatient. And I looked at him and said, that's because patience is virtue. We're selfish, self-centered individuals. The world revolves around me. It revolves around me. and more as I stay clean, I get chipped away at. God is a sculptor. He's a molder. He's a painter. He's an artist. And more I learn those lessons that I've probably heard all my life in some shape, form, or fashion. The difference in recovery is that I begin to practice those in my life to be who God would have me to be. Because I become convinced, third step says, thoroughly convinced, any life run on self-will cannot be a success. And then I let God do the chipping away process, and I stay out of the way. I don't grab his hand as often. I still grab his hand sometimes, and, oh, no, don't mess with that, man. Don't. I can handle that. Or give me a little bit more time. I want to live here for a minute. In a delusion that I have some power to do something about it. Fact-finding, fact-facing process. Step four. Three inventories. Resentment inventory. Fear inventory. Sex inventory. Deep dark secrets. Looking at what's blocking me from a God that I have to get a personal relationship with. Have to. There is no option for the real God. Talked about it earlier. Three types of guys and women. Dollar to a donut. Somebody in here this afternoon, this morning, don't need God to stay stopped. Dollar to a donut. Somebody in here needs God to stay stopped, and you don't know it yet. You haven't felt it internally. You're frolicking through the fellowship. And you're happy, joyous, and free with your service commitment and all the outside stuff, perimeter stuff. Not knowing that you're in the midst of grace. Because God loves you. That's the whole deal here. We come from love. For God so loved the world. Anybody know that scripture? He loves us. He'll never stop loving us. We stop loving us. I stop loving me. I stop caring about me. I stop nurturing me. What does a baby do when it's born? It learns how to nurture itself. When it gets hungry, it cries for mama to feed me. What it wants to be held, it. But then it gets out of hand. And the selfish, self-centered behaviors begin to take place. And I get separated. I'm estranged. Inventory begins to, 4 through 9 begins to bring me back to the source and the power to compound what I've seen, gotten a glimpse of in 1, 2, and 3. Now in 4 through 9, it becomes glaring. What becomes glaring? Excuse my language. I'm fucked. If something don't happen here, it's over. I'll stay restless, irritable, discontent, insecure. if something don't happen, something's got to happen. That's why the book says, vigorously, we set off on a course of action. Vigorously. Why? Because something's got to happen here. I can't live that way. I don't know about you. I can't. Something has to happen to in here. This spirit, this soul of mine, this other piece of me that very few of us expose or even know about. It's that piece of me that happened when he blew the breath of life into me. And I became a living soul. That God consciousness that is a part of me. It's like Delana said, you don't have to look for it. You ain't got to go nowhere to find it. I no longer look for God riding on clouds in the sky. I know God dwells deep down within me. And that's from personal experience. When I need him most, I can be still and go within and hook up. That's what I need as a recovering person. Because life ain't going to stop showing up because I'm in the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous or I'm on a spiritual retreat for 3 days. And I'm all... Yeah. Matter of fact, when I leave here, you probably come at me even a little bit harder.
Gonna jump off.
Uh-huh. Why?
Test it.
Because he don't want me free. She talked about a little early, a little earlier, this devil guy, a.k.a. disease, a.k.a. untreated alcoholism, untreated drug addiction. All the same, ain't no different. They just got different names in different places, all the same. You do know that what we do here is the same thing that they do in churches and mosques and temples. We do the same thing. We just do it in a different way. You do know the language that we talk here is the same language that they talk in them different places. You do know that, right? And as I begin to talk about our textbook is based on another big book. You do know that, right? Based in spiritual principles and religion. They took the religion part out of it because it was kind of harsh. They softened up the big book. Original manuscript. I got one in my bag. I might, depends on how I'm led. When I do stuff, I'm led. I might set up some type of format, but it's just a format. And if I'm led to deviate and go another direction, I do it. I don't play with God. I let him guide and direct me. Fact-finding, fact-facing experience. I need to be led. But I also need to find out who the leader is. And I can't let people, places, and things outside of me govern and... You with me? That's what this is about. I ain't talking to everybody. I ain't talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody. Talking to somebody in here this morning. You're being driven. Fear inventory talks about being driven by 100 forms of fear. Being driven. That means you ain't driving. You have no control over the car. Sooner or later, you're going to crash. Fear is about God ain't in control. You in control. and it's gotten out of hand. And you don't have the power to fix it, so you knee deep in what's going to happen to me. Your God reliance is not where it should be. Your spiritual alignment is not where it should be. As a recovering mad dog. Gotta get centered. Gotta get centered. Mr. Sia say to me, so, okay. He's an older gentleman, white hair, white beard. Looks like Joe a little bit. And I'll be talking, and he'll say, so where's God in all that? Real simple. When you were doing that, were you aligned up with God? Were you aligned up with Spirit? There's times I don't like him. You got to understand what we're dealing with. I have a mind that fights to hold on to certain perceptions about living and life and loving and caring and who you are and who you're not. That needs to be smashed. The job is not complete yet. That's why on a consistent basis I go through all 12 steps. I'm from a school where you do all 12 steps on a consistent basis. You don't do 1 through 9 and live in 10, 11, and 12 for the rest of your life. That's a school of thought and recovery. That works for you, fine. That don't work for me. I got to have Mr. on 12th Street smashed because he's bad. Help me live in that concrete and pavement. Help me survive. I'm a survivor. Got to a certain point in recovery, and the knowingness said, yeah, you survived up into this point. Now you're living. I live today. I enjoy life. I breathe. Whatever's going on. I stand up. I'm me. A lot of people don't like that. Just came through a situation with that where it wasn't liked very much. But I let them have their say, and I let them get it off their chest and process, right? Some people, you just got to let them do what they do. Fact-facing, fact-finding process. Sex inventory is not your sexual, about your sexual escapades. It's about how you really feel about the opposite sex or the same sex. How you really feel. How have you really treated them? Has your selfishness and self-centeredness dominated them? Like I said, it's for you to make the decision, but are you like me? I like to dominate stuff. I like to be the ruler. Follow my script, do what I say, and we'll be okay. Gotten a lot better at it. I'm not perfect. A lot better. So I look at these three areas of my life. As a result of looking at these three areas of my life, though, it's ironic, other stuff just pops up. Boom. Like aspects of character. A belief system that I've lived in the majority of my life that don't work no more. Every time I entertain the idea or I act out in that belief, my life gets chaotic. Like men are better than women. Women are children of God too. He created you just like he created me. What makes me think I'm better than you? Well, the world and society and man. Smashed. So I get to see me. Talked about the mirror. I get to put the mirror up to my face and see me. then I get to give spiritual license to someone to call me on my stuff. Because a lot of times I can't see me. So in those inventories, whoever your closed-mouthed friend is, be careful. Be careful who you share your stuff with. Be careful, unless you just don't care. Ask God to show you who, show me. And I put it all down on paper. And I'm ready for a long talk. My first fifth step took 10 hours, maybe longer. We sat in American Hospital from 9 o'clock in the morning, way into the evening, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, with Alton. Didn't move. Prepared for a long talk. Inventory is an amazing process. It's the first step in turning my life and my will over to the care of God. And saying to God, I'm serious. That God that you, that conception that you brought out of that step two experience, that I'm willing to believe, here's what I'm willing to do to show you that I'm willing to believe. And I write. I write like I'm dying, because you are. I write like I've been a crumb snatcher, because I am. And I don't want crumbs no more. You might not know you want the whole cake. Maybe by this time you just might want a slice. It got to a point where I didn't want a slice anymore. I want the whole cake, man. All of it. Didn't I want the best dope they had on the avenue? Why am I settling for less here? Why am I settling for mediocre recovery? Why am I settling for depending on what you say as instead of depending on what the Creator gives me, either directly or through you? And you know. That's why I have a circle of people in my life that I can go to and I can rely on absolutely on what they say. Because I know they've tapped in. They've tapped into the source, the power. They've hooked up with the Creator. They aligned with wholeness. I need that which they have that's in reference to me. Because I don't want what you have. I want what God's got for me. So, three inventories: fear, resentment, sex, deep dark secrets. That's stuff you've never told anybody. Stuff you said you're going to take to the grave. Because you different. You unique. And the experience, hopefully, that you have is that when you share stuff with your sponsor or your spiritual guide or whatever, you find out that you're not unique. There's others that are just like you, similar on a number of levels. Fifth step, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Anything you want to say on step four? Before I go? I'm moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
The book says that resentment is going to kill me. Where is resentment? It's not in my top drawer.
It's right here.
It's in my thinking. It's how I've organized the story of my life. I've organized it in such a way, the people that are okay and the people who aren't, and the various things that they've done that did not serve me. The book says it kills, and we have to be rid of it, but we can't be rid of it on our own. Again, I remember Brother Alton saying, like, you don't want to have a first step experience in four. That you need to be clear that you're going to die. You cannot have it while writing inventory, because it is the fact that I know that I can't save myself that moves me to the action. I'm not writing inventory unless I know I'm going to die and I want to live. So this story that I've organized from my childhood till now says that people have wronged me. It shouldn't have happened that way. You've impacted my security. I don't feel safe in the world. You've impacted my ambition. What I want. I don't want anything anymore. I'm afraid to want anything. So I don't want anything because I don't want to feel the disappointment of wanting things. So I don't give a fuck anymore. You've impacted how I interact in personal relationships. These resentments, that's what's happened. I can't be my authentic self. I can't open myself up to people, to females, to males. I need you to see me in a particular way. That's what resentment has done to me. It has changed who I am. We talked about being a retardant last night. Resentment has caused me to be retarded. I won't love anymore. I won't open myself up anymore. I won't risk it. How I feel about my money. My pocketbooks have been impacted by your ass. And I'm mad. That's what I have to look at. I have to look at self at the end, which was really, you know, a little trick in inventory. You write who you pissed at. You write what they did. You don't know that's happening. You write how it impacts you, the parts of you that I just talked about. And then I have to look at me. Fact finding, fact facing. The measuring stick is thoroughness and honesty. That's the measuring stick. Why is this important? So the story that I've organized in my mind, I don't know it until I write it. So it has to get out of here externally so I can see it, because I would not confess it otherwise. I can't unravel it from my mind. My mind has organized it. This circle here is representative of this circle. This is the fundamental idea that the book talks about. It's in me. So I don't experience the power of this because of resentment, fear, right? And who I am in relations to men and women. So I'm blocked from my agency. I can't be the agent because I'm blocked from the sunlight, this thing. So I have to be rid of this because light goes where there's least resistance. Close the blinds. There's no light coming through. Blinds closed is this. Open the blinds, light shines right through. and then I'm useful magically. This happens back and forth. I start praying, God, what would you have me be? I offer myself to build with me and to do with me as I will. Really? Really? When I write the inventory, I don't know that my sponsor is going to write down this list of things that they hear in my character. I don't know that's part of it either. But only through the fourth column am I willing to admit the things that are objectionable to me. Why do I have to confess it, though? So although I'm doing an external activity, the alchemy of it, the action of faith of it, changes me. It changes my mind. It changes my perspective. Oh, I'm not a victim. Oh, there's no one to blame. Oh, people are just people. Oh, they're not here to serve me. Oh, I possess people. That's my selfishness. I'll say this in hush. In my writing last night, in my current manifestations of unmanageability, I want my children to be what I want them to be. They're mine. Mm. I'm selfish and I'm self-centered. They're mine. They're not theirs. They're not God's children. They're my fucking kids. And I want them to worship me. When I come home, I want the fucking trash taken out because my son fucking worships me. I want the dishes washed because my daughter worships me. And when they don't do it, I think they are being blasphemous because I am God. And who they are a representation of me. So they need to have good lives so people know I was a good person and a good mama. Is this about them? Who's it about? And it's killing me. And they're so tired of my ass. And I swear it's them. And that's what I say. It's you, 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 you. And they're like, here this bitch comes. So I'm dishonest because I can't see the truth about it until I write it last night. Right? So in an instant, there was an earthquake last night, a quickening. I was convicted. But I don't do that if I don't examine. Inventory is a new skill I have. It says we master resentment. It won't go on your resume. It won't get you a job. But it's a new skill we have. So whenever it crops up, we know what to apply to it. So my prayer is to ask God to increase my faith and compassion. It's hard being 13, 15, having those hormones and not knowing what to do with them, being in a big scary place, approaching adulthood. Right? Reduce my selfishness so that I can remember my service commitment as a mother. open me up to neutrality. Having erased apathy, allow me to rise above my fear. Miles, my son is not a heroin addict, but he is a black boy in Los Angeles. So every day that he leaves my house, I'm afraid he's going to die. Just like your mother was afraid you were going to OD. Change me now. Make me renewed in mind and spirit. Help me to shape a sane idea of a mother and a servant. Use me. Make me the giver of unconditional love. Make me new now, this now. Take it from me. It is divine that I wake up now. That's what inventory is about. Wake me up now. Because I have an inkling that I'm more than my story. That's why I need to confess it.
To get a new attitude and a new relationship with my Creator. To get a new attitude and a new relationship with my Creator. Being willing that He be believing and willing to believe that He can and will for me. Original manuscript, not could and would. Three pertinent ideas. God can and will for me. So I press forward. A little story from The Forerunner by Cahil Gibran. Out of my deeper heart, out of my deeper heart, a bird rose and flew skyward. Higher and higher did it rise, yet larger and larger did it grow. At first it was but like a swallow, then a lark, then an eagle, then as vast as a spring cloud, and then it filled with the starry heavens. Out of my heart, a bird flew skyward, and it waxed larger as it flew, yet it left not my heart. Oh, my faith, my unchained knowledge, how shall I fly to your height and see with you man's larger self penciled upon the sky? How shall I turn this sea within me into mist and move with you in space immeasurable? How can a prisoner within the temple behold its golden domes? How shall the heart of a fruit be stretched to develop the fruit also? Oh, my faith, I am in chains behind these bars of silver and ebony, and I cannot fly with you. Yet out of my heart you rise skyward. And it is my heart that holds you, and I shall be content. I think it's lunchtime. Page 75 in the big book, up to page 70. Two in the big book, up to page 75, is about fifth step. Talks about make sure you got a closed mouth friend. I'm an advocate of multiple fifth steps. So when I write inventory, I read to my sponsor, my spiritual guide, and to whoever else I'm directed to read to. My sponsor, Mark, used to say, how free do you want to be? So the more you take the covers off, the more freer you are. You lose the chains of thinking what the world thinks about me and how I look to them. You no longer care. Fifth Step Promises, on page 75, says we can look the world in the eye.
Yes.
That's just one of them. It's a whole bunch of them in that paragraph. And then you sit quietly and you make sure you've been thorough. It's about a fact-finding, fact-facing process. I was thorough when I shot dope. Very thorough. I went and got it. I tapped the bag. That's when they had it in cellophane bags. I tapped the bag to see how much I had in there. And I'd go through the whole process of putting it in to begin the healing. It's the same thing here. 12 steps are a process of healing. 12 steps are a process of spiritual alignment that gets you in contact with, allows you to get access to, and then helps you in cultivating a personal relationship with wholeness, which is God. If your life is chaotic, you're mangled and twisted and confused, some piece of that is missing. On some level, you're estranged. Go back home. Get on a path back home. And don't stop. I had a buddy that used to come over from Brooklyn, and he'd meet me up 157th Street and Broadway where my people moved in Manhattan. And we'd walk from 157th Street to 112th Street, hustling money until we got enough to get some dope. And we'd get it. Some kind of way, hook or by crook, we'd get what we needed in order to get fixed. Same deal here. Get on a path. Get on a path and start hustling. You did it in the street. Why won't you do it here? You went to any lengths out there, no matter what you did. I don't care what you did. If you're a pill head, you probably had 3-4 different doctors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, right. If you're a crackhead, you probably had 2 connect. Where's the crackhead? Where's she at? Wait, right here. Wait, where you at? Right there? Okay, yeah. How many connects you got? A couple, right?
Yeah, one you own.
Yeah, more than a couple, right? Yeah.
One you know.
To do what? To make sure you get what you need. Why does it change when we get here? Who you want? You want to be a crumb snatcher all your life? Get some of that juice you got to remind you. I said, I want to bottle that to take back to Vegas with me. I want to put it in my spiritual room. That's a gift from God. That's a reminder, Tony. I need to be reminded on a consistent basis. And life gets better and better. Or am I just able to live in the moment, no matter whether it's better or not?
Mm-hmm.
I get to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I get to be. Know that I'm safe and protected, and God will take care of me. That's it. It's time to eat. Let's go.